Well, we have heard a few messages from Isaiah, and you heard that Isaiah, as he was raised, he was shown the glory of Christ. Christ said, Isaiah saw my glory. And ever since, Isaiah was not prophesying about anything else but Christ himself. And so you have heard me that Isaiah, as he picked up his ministry, he bring to the people's attention that life of independence is not glorifying to God. We saw that in chapter 6 when Ahaz was trying, when Uzziah was trying to be independent and being called as a king, wanted to act independently in becoming a priest himself. Having started well, he finished badly. He became a leper and then he died. And it was just that time that Isaiah was raised. And also Isaiah was also facing a problem of gossiping and being unclean lips and also living among a people of unclean lips. And yet God was able to purify, and that is what Jesus came to do, to change us. We saw also the issue of unbelief in chapter 7 in the king Uzziah, Ahaz, inability to believe God and would not ask for a sign. But in unbelief, he acted in fear of his enemies, and he was told that was not too good. Well, today, Jesus coming into a world of people who were living in distress. So that is my message to you today. Distress was a big issue to the people who were living that time. The promise was given to a people who were in distress. We read that because chapter 9 will make no sense if we don't go back to the first to the last verses of chapter maybe 19 to 22, or I will focus on chapter verse 20 of chapter 8. Isaiah 8, verse 20. Verse 20 tells us that distress and hungry, they will roam through the land. These people, they were the people described here, the people of Zebulun and Naphtali. Those were the two tribes of Israel who were living in the Galilee, in that region. And Jesus will pick it up in Matthew chapter 4 as the fulfillment of this promise. So these people were just bearing the brunt of the assault of Assyrian. So they were oppressed. They were being really opposed. They were subdued by powerful nations. And remember, who are these people? If you read earlier, they were called people of Emmanuel, ironically. A people among whom God should be living. And now they are subject to the oppression of other people, when God has promised that you are my people, I will be your king. And because of their sin, so God opened them up to other nations. And maybe because we have never experienced invasion, we have never experienced the oppression of other powerful nations. But today, if you just travel to lands where there are war, big tanks and heavy machineries are just working day and night. Just imagine people weak like that, living under that, and crying even to God. Ukraine has been going on for a while. Gaza is just under real fire day and night. North Sudan, since April to this day, the war that we thought will not move to other state, now is spreading like fire. People are fleeing their day, their lives. It's just a true thing that true human being can experience. And the reason is because of sin. It's sin, friends. It's not anything. It's not because people are not educated. It's not because people are not really informed of the dignity of human being. People go in circles, isn't it? See the Western civilization that have experienced the blessing of the gospel. Now they are going around because of the wealth and the advancements in medical terms, so they think like now God cannot perform miracles. And then even to believe God is naive and is backwards and is bad. Well, it's just a form of unbelief and rebellion from God. And other people who may not have experienced the blessing of the gospel, but they're living in sin because they are rebelling. Let me just give you one verse from verse 19. These are the people. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Well, now these people are calling Allahu Akbar. They say there is God. But these people, they are inquiring of his spirits. They have other gods. And see what the word says here. Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. People will be in distress. If people are not fearing God and respecting human lives, we kill babies, we abort them, we do whatever we want to do. But these are the people who say there is no God. But here this is what God says, and this is applicable to every human being. As the Christ is for every human being, if you turn to Christ, you will be saved and you will know God. And you will say to the testimony, to the law, to the word of God, and what the Lord says in every aspect of our lives. These are the people who will not be in distress. Or you say, does that mean that I will have no problems? But I will never be ruled or distressed by this. You will say to the law, to the testimony, to God and his word and his promises. That is what it says here. So these were the people who were living in that region. The promise was to them. Because these people, they look up, there is no God. They look down, problems. This is what the word says here. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land when they are famished. This is very hungry. That is the word, famished. They will become enraged and looking upward will curse their king and their God. So no authority. They will respect no authority because there is no authority helping them here. But because of their rebellions and their sins, they are going through all these things. So this, they look up, there's no God. How many in our days today, who say there's no God? How many? And when there is no God, who puts orders in places, kings and prime ministers, there will be no respect for them. See, people speak bad about their leaders. When we, as those who fear God, they are called to pray for those in position of authorities. That will be the righteous attitude towards any ungodly leader. That is what the word teaches us, to the law, to the testimony. Because these people, they look up, there is God. And they look up also in terms of orders of things, there are people in authority, position of authorities, that we are called upon to have regard for God in respecting his orders, and not to be clever in our own eyes. And then these people, when they looking upward, will curse their God, their king, and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. So when they go about their lives, there is no direction, darkness. A person who has no God, when they reach the end of themselves, that is utter darkness. People think darkness is just like contrast to light, isn't it? The Bible doesn't say it that way. In a noonday, you can be in darkness in your thoughts and also in your heart. Dark, no way out, no faith, no hope, no joy, no peace, no direction, no love for others, no resources. You cannot serve others with no resources. So up, no God. Down, darkness, distress, and so forth. And so that is the world in which we live today, as it was during that time. And it will always be like that to eternity. But the message is different. That is why chapter 9 makes sense. Nevertheless, because God is faithful to his promises, he said he will not abandon his people. He will be with them, even though he will allow them, because of their sins and rebellions, to go through all these things and to be dark in their minds. No understanding, no priorities in their lives. What the most important in our lives as believers, those who have been called, we are called for a purpose, for a life that glorifies God, a God that will empower, a life that God will empower us and will use for his glory and for our blessings. So the calling at the outset is for us to be a people who will say to the law, to the testimony, to the law, 5 books of Moses, and to the testimony, how God has worked with his own people. Because the theme this year for the Christmas in my heart, and I believe in the heart of Michael and others, Emmanuel, God coming, being with us, because that was what he desired in the past, was a God who was not to be distant from his own people, was a God who will walk with his own people. When Moses was going to the mountains and he's speaking to God, and his faith will shine when he comes down. And then he said to Moses, make a tent. I want to come and dwell among my own people. Emmanuel, God coming. And that means light be with you. Joy. That was God's intention. And again, he does it. Now, in chapter 9, he said, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. No more gloom. No more darkness. No more trying of things. You see, let us try this. This word is amazing. You see, yeah, let us try this. It might not work. With God, there's nothing there. Let us try this. You see, when people say, like, try God. No, it's not like that. It's not like we try him. No. We come to him with confidence, with whatever we face. If you are dark in your minds, you just pray he will illumine your minds and even show you the things around you in the last few hours, like last night. And so I came in contact with people who are engaging in what we hear, this inquiring of mediums and spiritists. Give me that phone call. I want to see myself calling certain people who are engaged in the work of darkness. Folk, we are sleeping. We don't know what is happening. But I'm speaking of the things that are real. And these people, they hate those who will say to the law and to the testimony what the Lord says. You see, they will just, for no reason, they will be against you. They wouldn't want to see you. They will be you are their worst enemy. Just for no reason. Just simply because you see they are in darkness and they are engaged in activities that will harm them later, and they don't understand that. Because in my experience, an African person in Africa, you engage, you tamper with these things, you can kill as many people as you want, but later on they come against you and they just destroy your life, your children and children's children. Curse will run. It's only through Christ that will just stop that and change you and transform you and give you a new beginning, a line that can never be affected by the work of Satan and demons, so forth. So here, the promise is a promise. 700 years, maybe minus few months or years. See, few years. So it will not be like that. And then he will be given reason why it won't be like that. Because some people think things can just happen like that. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. In the past. Because this is going to be fulfilled in the future. This is the land, the Galilee, along the Jordan River that's going to the Sea of Galilee from up down. So these tribes who were bearing the brunt of the oppressions of the Assyrian and all the invading forces. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of sea along the Jordan River. And now these people who were walking in darkness have seen a great light. And this great light is Jesus Christ. Let us not postpone this. That is what Jesus said in this one. When John the Baptist was captured and was taken to jail, Jesus started his ministry. And when he started his ministry, he says here that was to fulfill what was written in Isaiah. So he left Nazareth. That is Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. He left Nazareth and he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to see along the Jordan, Galilee, of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and this great light is Jesus Christ coming with the power of God and with the glory of God. These people seeing him physically, Emmanuel, God coming and walking in their midst. Jesus came and demonstrated that this era, this age is different. He came, he healed the sick, he drove out demons, and he spoke the words of God, and people were full of joy and security. That is the light of God, isn't it? So people have a pathway. People have a good vision for life here. They are departing from the spirits, consulting his spirits. Here they are saying to the law, to the testimony. They are saying to God, back to God. God has come into our midst. They have seen it. And God's grace was at work to capture their imagination, saying that this is different. This is amazing. We want to pursue this. Are we not pursuing this? Have you tested the Lord? Have you come to Jesus? Are you pursuing this life that has been given you? Or are you still stuck in the modernity? And actually, it's not modernity, even not post-modernity. It is called pluralistic society. Pluralistic era, where everything works. Everything is the truth. You can live any life you want. You can dress any way you want. You can be a man, you can be a woman. You can be anything. You can believe anything and nothing. But actually, we are called, those who will have light, will see light, will say to the law, to the testimony. What is the Lord saying about this particular thing? What's God saying about my career? What is God saying about my wife and me as a man? And what's God saying to me as a woman, married or a single woman, a young person, I have a career? What is God saying? What is the word of God saying I should be living? What is my work? What is my job? What impact I want to leave in this world? Good preachers always, they say, you might be hearing this message for the last time. Maybe I die myself or you die. But because they want you to take action, they want you to apply the word, not just when you go home. It's just now, because God has come into our midst. That is what verse 6 is going to say. There shall be no gloom. Why would you want to live in distress and gloom of the things? You just want to do research. Google, Mr. Google. The other day I met a young person and said, I want to call a friend. Hey, Siri, can you call this person? And the Siri called the person. See? Just like that. Just such a life that is so simplified that no one would want even like to press buttons. You just want to speak to something. And so this life can be deceiving, isn't it? Because it's too easy, too sophisticated, too cool and good and nice, isn't it? But it's not to the law, it's not to the testimony. And the outcome will be distress and darkness and gloom, so forth. But God is promising. And now Jesus has fulfilled this, because Jesus said, this is what is being fulfilled. And they will be not like this. And then they are promised from verse 3 to 5, when you come and you have seen this light, when you come to Christ and know him personally, this is what is going to happen. You will experience the victory. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. So this nation that was shrinking because of the invasion of the other people, they will expand. That is a picture of the absence of distress of invading other powers. Because they shrink your territories, they encroach on your land, they make you weak in your own place. But a person that expanding is a person who is just multiplying. So no pressure. And so they say, this is what is going to happen. Yes, you are going to be enlarged and your joy will increase. You see, in the few years we were talking a lot about the joy of the Christmas, isn't it? There's something, there is aspect of joy, and you heard me preaching about that. Because the salvation that came, because the Lord who is going to be your Lord and your King, there is joy. And now this joy will increase. Do you have joy? Is your joy increasing or is decreasing? Well, maybe you are not saying to the law and to the testimony. Let us not waste time. The life here on earth is too short. And many of us all are just at the really age of departing. If you think you are too young, well, wait for another 10 years. We'll have some gray hair. So you have enlarged. And this is what is going to happen to a person who will have received this light. They rejoice before you, before God, as people rejoice at the harvest. Harvest. You see, there's a great work, effort. And now this is the reward. Harvest. Harvest, it speaks of the investment. You invested time, you invested your crops, you invested everything. You have built even relationships. Harvest is a time where you see God's goodness. And so it's likened to that. But it's not talking about harvest. It's a harvest of the Holy Spirit, harvest of the joy of having God coming and darkness dispelled and distress removed because of the fulfillment of the promises of God. As men rejoice when dividing the plunder, having conquered. These people, this is a military language. There is no soldier who would not want to win a battle. Because if you don't win, either dead or you are captive. Prisoner of war. But when you are at that stage of dividing the plunder, you are victorious. You are more than conqueror, isn't it? So that is what it's talking about. Spiritually, you will be more than conquerors. That is what the Bible says, the New Testament. There is true victory because God has come into our midst, Emmanuel. Victory to a weak people. And we will be told like now, a person who experienced that. Let me not go ahead of myself. But let me tell you, being in that state of being a winner, a victor, is the only position a sensible person would want to be at. Because the other position is bad. It's embarrassing. No true soldier would want to be in that state. And we are called to be soldiers, isn't it? Paul says, I fought the good fight of faith, a fighter. Isn't it? Not because you are strong in yourself, not because you are wise and sophisticated and better than other people. In fact, because you were in distress. You were hopeless in sin. You didn't know how to honor God. And now the initiative is God's himself. You didn't contribute anything to that because here these people didn't do anything right. But God, in his faithfulness, he has promised he will come. And now he's speaking about their estate, the blessings that will follow as a result of having received this great light in the land of Naphtali, land of Zebulun. You can replace those two tribes and you put yourself, my land, my territory, my life. God will be in this life. I pray if I'm far, I want to be included. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders. Gideon and his own people in Judges chapter 6 and 7, they were oppressed. God is giving us an example in the Bible that he did it and he will do it again and again. Gideon was, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon in chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God has shone light into his life. And Gideon was never the same. That fearful trembling who was hiding and threshing his crops there, he was just turned into another person. God called him a mighty warrior. And then this is his language. He said this. "But say," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? If Emmanuel is with us." In chapter 8, they were called people of Emmanuel. The people in whom God lives. He said, "If we are people of God, delivered from Egypt, and we are brought here, and we are promised, we have seen the promises, why? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." But the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have, and save Israel in the strength you have." Because the light has come into your life. Because of the strength and the power of God that will come into your life will enable you to face all these impossible things that cause people to be distressed and to live in darkness, like Gideon himself. But Lord, Gideon asked, "How can I save Israel? My clan is..." And then the conversation went on. And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went and prepared a young goat, and then he offered this. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and offer it." The same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull and do that." So Gideon took 10 of his, and then he offers, he worships, he is in a state of faith. And then now in chapter 7, he defeated the Midianites. You can go and read that. You see a weak turn is strong. And now this is the promise. So this is the experience. Those who will have Jesus in their life will experience experiences like that of Gideon. That is why it's here. And Jesus is fulfilling it really word for word. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is why I love the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is a language that teaches us about our God. Jesus came to fulfill it, and he just opened the door just like that for us to experience the things that even people like Gideon have experienced. We may not have physical armies, but we will have, we'll experience God in our lives. So the yoke that burdened them, the burden those people, will be removed. Every warrior boots used in battles and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. This is victory. And why? Why the reason all these things? That is the verse 6 answering this. "For to us a child is born." Because of this gift of God. Because of Jesus. All this we will experience because of Jesus. And he will say later on, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." You come to experience all these things as you repent and enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you depart from pluralistic thoughts and self-independence like Uzziah and Ahaz with unbelief and everybody else with fear and distress. "For to us a child is born." For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, because of this great gift of God in Jesus Christ. This gift of God for you is to come and dispel your distress. Some people love distress so much. You see, love to be distressed. It's not a good thing, because if you are distressed, you cannot make good decisions. You will just throw yourself into sin. That is why the Bible says, if anyone is in trouble, let them pray. If you're happy, sing. But people, they confuse these things. They are in distress, and then maybe there is a place for singing when you are distressed. But for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. It's not the Assyrians, not the Midianites, not everybody else, not other powers that will have the upper hand over your life. Now you have come to God. You have come to God. Now the government will be on his shoulder, will not be on the shoulders of the other people, will not be on the shoulders of people we see around us that are causing us trouble. No, the government will be on his shoulders. That means he will be crowned with all the power to govern your life and to rule it, for he is the true king. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. These are the words we talked about. That is his name. That is what you will experience. That is the application of this text. So Jesus, the light coming, how is his light in your life? Is because giving you the right counsel to the law, to the testimony. That is what he will tell us. Jesus will never lead us away from the word of God, because that is speaking about him. He said, you search the books and you think they talk about anybody else. It's about me. And now even chapter 9 is about me. Chapter 8 is about me. Isaiah saw me in my glory. This son in his pre-existence, pre-incarnation, appeared to Isaiah. He was never been the same. The disciples saw him. They were never the same. If you have met him truly, you are not the same person. And that is what he's saying. He will be a wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. You come to him and you speak to him about your estate. He will describe it to you and he will tell you exactly what you need. Maybe he will tell you, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. He may tell you, just seek and he shall find. Knock, the door shall be open unto you. Ask and you will be given. Resist the enemy and he will flee from you. He will say it like this: humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Maybe he will say that to you, to the law, to the testimony. That is true counseling of God. And Jesus will be called Perfect Counselor, Wonderful, because he will just give you exactly what you need. That will overcome, that will make you victorious. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. It's a gift from God. We don't deserve him, and you can never afford buying your salvation. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Well, Mighty God, Jesus will just demonstrate this power of God, and we saw it, and we see it, and we will experience it, and we will continue to experience this. That is why I said here, Jesus came to make our way glorious. Isn't it? Jesus came to make our way glorious. Because the people, they were in darkness. They didn't see where they were going. But Jesus was coming to open the way for us. Emmanuel, God being with us. The way for us to love God and to follow him and to seek his counsel and to say to the Lord, to the testimony, and to know the forgiveness of God and the cleansing for our sins. Because he is a gift from God, this son, this child who was born in a manger, the Prince of Peace. That is what we are called. He is called the Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, the peace of God can only be experienced in Christ. The Prince of Peace. When someone is prince, he is in charge of this. At his disposal, the peace of God, on the account of his work on the cross of Calvary, his death and his resurrection, his ascension. And he finished the work for us. That is why he is the Prince of Peace. So that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall be ours in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. And mighty, because there is no one that can defeat God. If you put your trust in God, no matter how people ridicule you, no matter how great they may look like, because even that power of Assyrian that was destroying people and causing them to distress and fear was nothing to God. That is why, mighty God, if you have come under his shadow in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope for you, hope for your situations, and there is a way out, because Jesus came to make our way glorious. For there will be no more gloom for those who were in darkness, because the great light, Jesus Christ, who said he is the light of the world himself, if anyone believes in me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Christmas this time is about God coming into our midst. People are burdened with gifts and cooking. I met this man this morning at LD outside 8:30. He got a cross on himself. He's a Catholic elderly man. So, oh, I hate Christmas. Too many gifts and too much cooking. And I don't have even time to go to church. Only tonight, around 11:45 midnight, that is the only time I will go to church and pray. And I say, how about the... So I love Jesus. But we are living in a world that put emphasis on something else. Not to the law, not to the testimony. If Emmanuel is with us, why would we want to put emphasis on other things when we have an everlasting Father with us? When we have the wonderful Counselor, when we have a mighty God with us, when we have the promise of victory, it's not because we are strong, but this is what we will experience. Gideon, thinks of Gideon. You call yourself Gideon, mighty warrior, a man of valor, a woman of valor, isn't it? How is your Christmas going? Are you going to go out also stuck with all thoughts about Christmas, or are you being renewed in your mind about what it is to celebrate Christmas? What has come into your life? Light of God, because a son is given to us, a child is born, and his name is Jesus, who will enable us to say to the law, to the testimony, for he came to make our way glorious, glorious. Is that your Christmas today? Is your way glorious? Glorious because of his glory, because of his light, because of his love, his power, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave himself for me, for you, so that we can experience this. If you have not come to Jesus Christ in your life, this is a good time for you to surrender your life to Jesus. Repent and accept him to be your Lord and your Savior. Just believe and trust. Just open your mind, open your heart to his power, and he will release you from your bondages, from your thoughts, and you will be accepted as a child of God. Let us pray.